We've been studying the book of Revelation, and I studied my lesson completely. I've got all the notes right here, but I don't feel led to bring that today. So last night late, I studied something else, and this morning I got up and studied something else again. So same thing last night and this morning. So I'm going to talk to you today about, where is your hope placed? Where is your hope placed? Praise the Lord. And I wrote at the top of my page, victory. You know, there's an old hymn, and probably all of you know this hymn. It says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. My hope is, it says, on Christ, the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, and it's W-H-O-L-L-Y, it means all of us, wholly lean on Jesus' name. So important, isn't it?
Yes.
To realize where our hope is from. And you know, we all go through terrific trials. I won't even ask you to raise your hand if you've ever gone through a trial, because I know you have. You've gone through tough times, times when you just didn't know whether you could go on. But that's the way life is. But we know that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Where is your hope? Is it in the natural? Is it gaining more money or more prestige or, you know, whatever that we go about trying to get when we're living our human life? But when we realize that it's so important to have all of the victory and all of the things that the Lord Jesus wants to give to us. And there's a verse that came to my mind, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And as we go through life, there are many, many times we don't see what we're wanting to see, right? How I know I could ask for a show of hands today, and that most of you probably raise your hands and say, there's been times when I prayed and I didn't see any results. And so, but it says there in that scripture we just quoted, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's looking forward to something we want the Lord to do to help us in some way or help our loved ones. And faith causes it to be an evidence. It's going to happen. God is going to bring it to pass in His perfect timing and His perfect will. It's the evidence of things not seen. A lot of times we just like something to happen right now. Right? I've been through times, many times in my life, where I prayed and I want the answer right now, Lord. Just do it right now. And He just doesn't do that a lot of times. Why? Why doesn't He hear our voices? Yes, He hears our voices. But maybe we're asking out of the will of God. We don't know. But what we have to come to in life is just say, here I am, Lord, whatever it is You want to do, whatever You want to provide for me, okay? And I will keep on walking with You anyway. Keep on yielding my life to You. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians. We're going to look here at the first chapter. We're just going to read verse 3 and 4. This is what Apostle Paul writing to this church of Galatia. If you look on a map at Turkey, right up there in that northern part is Galatia, where Galatia used to be, where Paul was a missionary person. So beginning in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. As you look around the world today, our United States and all the other people in the world, you see a mess. You see things that are happening in the United States that we never thought would happen. And a lot of those things are sexual things, things that God does not want and does not allow and want the Christian to do. There's just so much terrible stuff. Sexual deviance, increased crime. Just look, if you look at the news, you see this, that there's just increased crime in many, many places. Lots more people, and not very many getting arrested that should be arrested. It's weird, isn't it? Don't you think it's kind of weird? I mean, I don't like what I have lived through in my lifetime, where the police were there for our protection and go out and arrest these people so they wouldn't keep on doing these things. But this is the way it is. Yes, and you know, this last week I read that they, and you may already know this, that the armed forces are not allowing soldiers to have Bibles. Isn't that bad? Boy, that is really something. So I know that these are evil things. This is a present evil world that we live in, as Paul said. And he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, praise the Lord, from this evil world that we live in today. And notice what he says, according to the will of God and our Father. God has a set plan for how he's doing everything. Very, very soon, he's going to take away his overcomers from this earth, and the tribulation will begin, 7 years of tribulation. And when that happens, there's going to be even worse things than we can imagine are going on in this world right now. And it doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. We all need to seek to walk after the will of God in our lives and yield our bodies as living sacrifices unto God and let him work in us. It's just so important. In 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "There are evil seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That's the way that the world is right now. More deceivers, more people coming in saying, "Oh, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, just do it and we'll just get along fine. Everybody's going to have a lot of fun." And fun is not fun whenever they finally get there a certain ways. You've heard about the fentanyl coming across the border and how many young people have been killed by the fentanyl. And yet, it seems like in our government, nobody's trying to help the matter. Nobody cares. They're just, let them come over, doesn't matter. Just let them come over, many is. And you know, I have a lot of sympathy and a lot of care and love for people that need the Lord. But yet, it seems like we're going berserk now in our country. And so, we see this happening, that evil seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 24, and you all know we've read so many times when I get up to speak in this book of Matthew, Jesus' disciple that wrote the book of Matthew. And we're going to begin reading here just a little ways, verse 6 through 8. It tells about the things that are going to come about to pass in this world. Right now, we got a war going on in Ukraine with Russia that is taking up a lot of resources of our country. This is amazing. Amazing things are happening. Notice what it says in verse 6. "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled." That word troubled means to be frightened. You don't need to be frightened. God is there. He is here with us, and all believers are going to be kept safe and taken care of in his grace. "See that you be not troubled or frightened, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Right now, we're just experiencing this heat, but also we're experiencing great forest fires, just burning down beautiful forests that all of us have enjoyed. I think everybody has probably gone and seen the big forests and enjoyed just being in the mountains and the beautiful things, but we are having so much burning going on, even in the United States, and terrific. All of us know the fire, the temperature so great here. And he says, this is just the beginning of sorrows. Yes, and as the tribulation time comes on the earth, they're going to begin to do this other thing, delivering you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He was speaking a lot to Israel here. And even today, you know, people hate, a lot of countries hate Israel, don't they? They hate Israel. They don't want any good thing to come. They want those people to leave that land. So there are a lot of rumors of wars. And right now, as I said, we're in Ukraine. We're giving a lot of our stuff over there. Our resources that were stored, oil and things like that, have been being dissipated. You've probably heard about some of them they sent to China. Just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's like people going berserk. They're doing things that are not right. So when we watch the TV news, we often feel awful. But sure not encouraging, is that frightened, and we see all of that evil. Satan is having a heyday right now. But we can't imagine, as the Lord Jesus comes again and takes his love ones, his saints that are walking with him away, there's going to be a worse than ever. What is a remedy for living in a world like this? What is it that we're supposed to do? Praise the Lord. We are supposed to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not allow Satan, don't allow Satan to put you down. You are an overcomer in Christ. If you walk in the Spirit and keep praying and yielding your life to the Lord, you're going to be fine. The Lord's going to take care of you. You might have trials. I've had lots of trials, but I know you have too. And yet God somehow worked out the things that we were have going through with us. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, and you know what, because I think I just read it in the ladies' meeting. I probably read it last week to you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 is where we're going to read, just three verses here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. He just got through saying that all things are for your sake, and that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound, that means to add on and superabound, to the glory of God. So no matter what trials we're going through, the grace of God is greater. It's greater than our trial. The love of God is far greater than anything that we could go through that's hard to bear. So in verse 16, for what cause, that we have this wonderful love of God and this wonderful power of God, this abundant grace, for which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That outward man's our body, our physical body. And we're all getting older, sorry to say, but we are. And we are more dependent on God now than we were when we were younger. And that's what he wants. He wants us to depend on him, trust in him, seek after him. So even though our outward man gets old, our earthen vessel is getting older and getting cracks in it. I'm not a crackpot, though. Neither are you. Praise the Lord. Okay, so it works. This outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The Lord's just constantly building us up and giving us renewal. And then he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what is it that's going to give us the feeling of, this is just light, the Lord's going to give me strength for it? What is it? Is that we don't look at this big burden and this big trial as if we're just not going to make it through there. I can't lift this load anymore. You know, where is God? Why is he not helping me? You know, that's our attitude a lot of times. But he says that the victory comes when we don't look at the things which are seen. That's such an important lesson to learn, isn't it? It's so, and it's difficult for us in our fleshly nature. We want to look at the bad stuff. Oh, how terrible, and woe is me, you know. I'm going through all these trials. All of us are. We all have things in common. We're human beings. But praise the Lord. We look not at these things, but we look at that which is eternal. What is going to, the Lord is working in our lives to benefit us in eternity through victory. In 2 Corinthians 10:7, it says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? It's a question. Paul asks this question. He says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? And you know, 1 Samuel 16:7, I'll tell you what it's about. Samuel the prophet was told by God to go to the house of Jesse, that there was going to be a young man there that was going to be king of Israel. He was to go out there and he was to pray for this man and you know, speak, this man is going to be the king. And that was King David, of course. But when he got there, there were a lot of really tall people, weren't they? Some of the brothers, they were mature young men and doing all the things there in the house, you know, and there with their father. And after he looked at all of the ones that were there, he said, do you have any others? He said, oh, yeah, there's this little young lad. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep. They didn't account that he had any value to this great prophet, Samuel. And you know what? When the Lord wants to do something in our life, we're puny. We're just like that little young man out there taking care of the sheep. But he was a faithful person. So then Samuel said, we're not eating until you bring him in. And he brought him in. They brought him in, and he immediately laid hands on him, anointing him with oil, and he became the future king of Israel. And this is a verse that's found there for Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. That's a wonderful verse. If all of us could just remember that. We look at the outward things. We think, oh, I'm not doing so good. I'm not making enough money. I can't afford to do anything. And the rent is doing, you know, all this stuff that the devil brings up. But we're looking on the outward appearance. God looks at what's here in our hearts. Jesus was going to heal a blind man in Mark 8:25. And when he prayed over him, at first he didn't get his full hearing. He meant healing. He didn't get his complete healing. And then you can read it, it's neat. The Lord said to him, look up, look up. And when he looked up, he was healed. Isn't that a beautiful thought? So what that means to us is that we have too much problem looking at around us and our stuff, you know, and our problems and what he said or she said or what is going on in the world. We can all be defeated if we look at those natural things all the time. And it's human for us to see those natural things. I just hate to watch the news, yet I want to watch the news. I want to see what's going on, you know. But yet I have to take a victory and say, okay, Lord, I know that you are in control and you are allowing these things. And one day you're going to come and you're going to take us away from this place. But, you know, our natural self is that we look at the surroundings. We look at what the problem is and we think, oh, this problem is too great for God. He's not going to be able to help us. And sometimes you have a very, very bad thing happen in your life, and you could, the old devil whisper in your ear and say, see there, God let you down. God let you down. No, he never did. He never let me down. He never let you down. He's always faithful. He's always there. And so what we need is victory in our life. When we fight a battle in the natural, the armed forces go over there. They expect a victory. They don't just fight and mess around and get discouraged and go back home. That's not the way that the battle goes. They stay and they stay and they keep on going. And that's what the Lord wants us. And our victory has to be over our own. There are three things: the flesh, the world, and the devil. Three things. First of all, our own self will defeat us more times than any other thing, because we just worry about ourselves. We worry about things. We worry about our loved ones. We don't like it if somebody says something or other. We just, you know, we're just walking in our flesh. And so we're so concerned with ourself. And we need to be in praise to God and for the victory that is coming. And then the world, we look around the world. Oh, my goodness. What's going to happen next? You know? And then Satan comes and he says, it's getting bad. Things are getting really bad. He's just there to try to discourage us and break us and our consecration to God and our desire to walk fully in victory with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that word, giveth. He doesn't say, well, I'll give it to you, but you first you got to do so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Good works. When you get enough good works, then I'm going to give you what you need. That isn't what it is at all. It's by faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and gaining that victory. Don't listen to the devil. He is so subtle. He'll make you think, I'm telling you the right things. I'm telling you what to do. It's the right things. And all of the time when he speaks, it isn't the right things. He's deceiving us. But he says, thanks to God, which gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for us to have victory over our troubles and our trials, over whatever comes, God has been so faithful. We rise out over the trials by the strength of the Lord, by his grace. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. What is it that overcomes the world? Gritting our teeth and stamping our foot and yelling real loud and saying, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to tell God I can't stand it. We've had people say those kind of things. But you know what? It says the Lord will not put on us more than we can bear, but will, with the temptation, make a way that we're able to bear it. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? If you've walked with the Lord very long, you know how things are. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. There's victory all the time for you and I, no matter what we go through, no matter what it is. The word overcome, we say, be an overcomer. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What does it mean to overcome? Well, there's these trials that come up, these things that happen to us. And we can either just let go and just say, oh, woe is me. There's no victory. I'm just going to have to bear this. I'm just going to have to do all these things to get myself in the right position. All this stuff that we think of. But that word overcome means to subdue, to conquer and prevail. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our triumph. He is the one that gives us this victory to yield ourselves to God and become an overcomer in life, no matter what it is, no matter what it is. 1 John 5:4-5, We're going to read that. We'll turn to 1 John 5. Now, we have this little thing, you know, when things really happen, they get really bad. We think, there's no way out. I can't overcome. I can't. I just don't have any strength left, and I can't overcome. You know, you're right in the right position right there, because the Lord does not want you to be trying to be an overcomer. He wants you to let the Lord do that in your life. That's what he wants, as well as for me. And so in verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith, 1 John 5, 4. "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We have to turn to God and believe him. And he doesn't always just move just like we want him to. I found that in my life. We pray, but then the victory comes when we say, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." That's what Jesus did. And then verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And so what have we got that can give us victory? We have Jesus in our lives. We're born again. We have Jesus. We should be in victory with the Lord. If we're not, we need to humble ourselves and cry out to God, "Give me victory. Help me to overcome. Help me to yield my life." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just noticed that Revelation 2 and 3, where we have those seven churches of Asia, every one of those churches, how were they rewarded as to what God wanted? If they overcome, he was going to give them certain things. Let's look at this. This will be our last scripture, Revelation, the third chapter. Verse 21 of chapter 3. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Who's speaking? Jesus Christ. To all those who are overcoming, who overcome the adversity of life and all of the things that go on, and keep on going on with our eyes on Jesus. Looking at Jesus. Don't look at the trials. Look at Jesus. Look at his victory, his strength. Read the word of God. Depend on him. Let him work things out. Sometimes we get in such a hurry to get rid of something, we start trying to work it out. And then it gets to be a big mess, doesn't it? "Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Now, at the time this was written, that was true. Jesus was still sitting at the right hand of God. But one of these days, in our chapter 4 that we studied, we saw Jesus on his throne. Jesus hadn't got there to his throne yet. He's still sitting at the right hand of God on the throne next to his Father. And he intercedes all the time for us. But one of these days, when he comes back again, his throne is going to be established. Praise the Lord. I wrote on my notes here an admonition to all of us. Life is hard. My life has not been easy. My life has been a hard life. Your lives, different ones of you, have different kinds of trials and tests. And our life is sometimes hard. There are many trials in our lives. And he allows it because he wants to work things in us. And when we have trials, what do? Hopefully, we pray. Hopefully we cry out, "God, help me," you know. But what I wrote was, life is hard. We have many trials. Go on, brother and sister, go on. Go on. Get up. You fell down. I fell down. We've all fallen down sometime. Get up. Walk on. Lay hold of this. Lay hold of the word. Believe what he says. By faith, by faith. Not by our good works, but by faith, believing in the Word of God, God is going to help us get through. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.